You're tuned to KRTS, Marfa Public Radio, 93.5 FM. Support for KRTS is provided in part by Ballroom Marfa, which invites the public to join them for the opening weekend of their spring visual arts exhibition, Data Deluge. That's on Friday, March 2nd. It's curated by Rachel Gugelberger and Reynard Loki. It presents a selection of sculpture, furniture, painting, photography, video, and sound by artists who shape web-based and software-generated data into art. The weekend includes an opening reception on Friday, March 2nd at 6 p.m., followed by a community dinner at the Capri in Marfa. The dinner features a performance by new media artist and programmer Luc Dubois and multi-instrumentalist Bora Yoon. For more information, you could visit ballroommarfa.org, or you can just tune in right now for our Talk at 10 interview program. I'm Rachel Lindley, and I'm joined by those two artists on the line right now, Luc and Bora. Hi, y'all. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Well, the two of you both do very interesting work, and you've been collaborating together for a while. And I was wondering if, just for the folks at home who haven't heard of either of y'all or your work, if we could just talk a bit about both of you individually first, and then your work together. So, Luc, we'll start with you. You are a composer, an artist, and a performer, and you've done lots of collaborations with many different people. You do a lot of music. You also do something called, a variation on time-lapse photography, as it were. Can you tell us a little bit more about your work?
Well, what I do is I do a lot of performance. I do a lot of performance with computers, and a lot of what I do is I work with data. And so it kind of relates to the Data Deluge show. When Rachel approached me about doing a performance, I thought what would be really fun would be to do a sort of mix of some of the audio-visual performances I've been doing over the last few years. One of the things I'm going to do in the ballroom is show a piece that I've been working on that takes some old recordings of John Coltrane and sort of turns them into a 3D shape and then lets me perform with the shape, stuff like that. So taking information from one place and putting it into someplace else. I perform a lot with musicians, and when I perform with Bora, we've been doing this for about 6 or 7 years now. A lot of what I do with her is I work with cameras and use the music she makes on stage to kind of influence the image. So what you'll see is you'll see a projection that'll look like a kind of transformed version of what she's doing live, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of that. I do a lot of that with, with different performers, and I do that with dancers and musicians and composers. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
So I hear what you're saying, but I'm not exactly sure how you do it. So how do you make a John Coltrane recording into something three-dimensional? Like how does that happen?
I have a computer, and I write some computer software to basically take things like the notes and the gestures and the melodies and the rhythms, and etch it almost like you're on a potter's wheel. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of take your fingers and you press against a mold of clay, and you can move it. And what you end up with is you end up with this thing that looks like it might have been created with jazz, but it doesn't sound like jazz, and it doesn't really necessarily even, work that way, but it has the same kind of fluidity and improvisation to it. So a lot of the stuff when you're playing with computers is a lot of the things that are hard to do are the things that actually sound very human and sound like they could have been made up on the spot or that they're different every time. And so a lot of what I try to do as a performer is try to bring that energy back into what you can do on stage with a laptop, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And you use projections as well. And
yep.
And Bora, you create soundscapes from everyday objects, including instruments and other things that you just find. And this performance that y'all are doing together, Bora, this is actually you use this title to carry your solo performances around the world.
Yes, phonation kind of the word phonation is a play also on phonography and also on records and kind of the art of phonating. Phonating being the utterance of sound before speech. So kind of instrumental singing, or the fact that music has the ability to carry meaning and communication even without necessarily the direct use of verbal words. So a lot of it is, I describe it very much like a cooking show of sound. It's very much like a little, like a haunted house of sound that comes alive. So I play with, I sing. I play electric viola. I also play ancient Tibetan singing bowls, cell phones, Bible pages, metronomes, record needles, lots of different sound objects that make sound and make sense together. So it ends up being kind of a very cinematic storytelling through sound. So you start with one layer of sound, and then you start adding another, and in the cinematic kind of way, there's this idea where the dimensions of space start pushing back and back so that the foreground material keeps generating. So eventually, at the end, there's a very kind of vast and expansive soundscape that's happening. So in collaboration with Luke, what he is doing is a lot of really wonderful and synergistic camera work. It's very much like live cinema, where in the computer software that he uses, he is basically using a lot of the different bands of frequencies that are within the music and assigning those attributes to various things. So whether that's scrubbing through time, or loud means that you see 10 seconds ago, and soft means that you see in the immediate of what is being translated. He just really beautifully and seamlessly connects all of those attributes together with a visual attribute, really making this wonderful, immersive type of environmental performance through multimedia.
It sounds very complicated the way that it all comes together, the work that both of you do. But as the casual viewer walking in and seeing a performance, what could one expect? And does one need to know more of the background of how y'all produce this to enjoy the work?
No, you don't. It's very fluid, and it's very beautiful, and it's very intimate. One of the reasons that I use cameras as a video artist when I work with Bora is she does a lot of things that are very, very subtle with her hands and with the instruments on stage. And it gives the audience like another perspective on it. And it's almost like, it's like what Boris said, it's almost like I'm shooting a music video in real time, live. Mm-hmm. So what you see on the screen is something kind of like, my kind of version of like a movie. You know, like what would a movie look like that was shot to this music? And so even though there's a lot of like computer stuff going on, and there's a bunch of sort of technology behind the scenes, one of the things that's really great about our collaboration is Bora's instrumental practice is very hands-on, it's very tactile. It's using everything from, 500-year-old objects to things you might find in your kitchen, anything that makes sound is fair game. And what I try to do with the computer is just sort of give you an inkling of the sort of like physical gestures that go into making those sounds, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of mixing that into the environment so that you get this kind of expanded view. It's almost like an amplifier, right? So instead of taking a sound and putting a microphone on it and blasting it out of speakers, you can also amplify something by putting a camera on it and showing it really big on a screen. You can sort of do the same effect. And it's a lot of fun, and you don't have to sit there and scratch your head and worry about what's going on. It's really something that you just flow through. And it's going to be really great.
Yeah, we really try to make our performance very organic, and no, it's just more open ears, and it's very gut level, very heart level. So the mind catches up later.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Bora Yoon and Luke Dubois. They are performing as part of Ballroom Marfa's opening weekend for Data Deluge. That's their new show that's opening this Friday, March 2nd. And there'll be a community dinner, and everyone is welcome and invited to that. That's at the Capri in Marfa following the reception. And these two will be performing their music and visual collaboration during that period.
Thank you.
You're tuned to KRTS, Marfa Public Radio, 93.5 FM. It is 10:38, and this is the second installment of Talk at 10. I'm Rachel Lindley, and I'll be your host for today. We're joined in the studio by Michelle Selk. She works in communications, teaching that at Sul Ross State University, and she is part of the Micro Cinema Festival, celebrating the rural experience that'll be going on this weekend at Sul Ross State University. And Michelle's going to tell us a little bit about the program. So thanks for coming in, and I look forward to hearing about it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Recently, Donna Roman, who's the head of the theater program at Sul Ross, she wanted to bring back something film-wise, cinema-wise, to the program. And so she's integrating a film series that highlights, you know, specific topics, specific issues. This one is the rural experience, so a lot of the short films are from around the United States. But also there's one from Lebanon, one from Canada, one from the UK that, you know, highlight this common rural experience that a lot of us in West Texas can relate to. Mm-hmm. And this fall, she's already looking ahead September 6th, 7th, and 8th, having a festival or micro cinema that focuses on the Latin experience. And so she's already pursuing films from Spain, Mexico, and Central America.
And how did you get drawn into to help Donna with this project?
Well, I am the video production professor mm-hmm. there, so it's kind of my training. Mm-hmm. And it's also an interest of mine. I was just talking with Anne before I came in here, and I would love to see a true independent film come back. I think a lot of our independent festivals have gone a little mainstream, mm-hmm. you know, so I would like to see a resurgence of true independent cinema, and I think this is a great example of that.
So this will be running the 2nd and 3rd, Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. That's in the Studio Theater of the Francois Fine Art Building on the Sul Ross campus. And for more information about tickets, you can call the theater department or you can call 888-722-SRSU. A full schedule is also available on their website. That's sulross.edu/theater. And we're going to talk a little bit, though, about the films playing right now. So what do we have on the schedule first for Friday night?
Well, for Friday, I think we have close to 20 films. Some are 2 minutes in length, some are 15 minutes in length. So there's a great variety. Just in looking at the top 10 from the festival, which is the Rural Rot Festival out of New York City, mm-hmm. there's one called The Bees from Lebanon about a beekeeper. There's one in Holland, Michigan about a shoe carver. And, you know, the tulip farm in Holland. I'm from Northwest Iowa, so I'm kind of familiar with the Dutch culture and just the unique shoemaking aspect. There's one that's 2 minutes long from the UK, and, you know, it has experimental, it has narrative, has documentary, so there's quite the variety.
You were mentioning a film festival in New York. Is that where y'all pulled some of the
Yes, the short films that we're showing on Friday night are from the Rural Rot Film Festival that's based out of New York City.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that festival?
I believe they were on a hiatus for a few years. Okay. I'm not sure, but we started getting emails from them again saying, we're back. Would you like to, you know, show our winners or show some of our top picks? So I'm very happy to have them back. They're a good group of people, love what they do, and so I'm thrilled that they're back.
So Friday night, it's featuring many of the films selected by that film festival. Is Saturday more some local picks?
Well, Saturday, they have scheduled a feature film presentation, The Straight Story. It was released a few years ago by David Lynch. Yeah, most of us know him from Twin Peaks or Blue Velvet or some of those darker things. But he did produce this story about a man who buys a John Deere tractor and drives across Iowa to go see his ailing brother. And I haven't seen it, but I'm very excited because I was born and raised in Iowa. So I'm curious to see if I recognize any of the towns or, you know, if it represents my culture well. But it is The Straight Story, strictly on Saturday.
Okay. So in putting together the programs, I'm sure that you've seen many of these films. You mentioned one about the beekeepers. Is there any other one that you'd like to highlight in depth for us now on the air?
Well, I have not been able to preview them yet.
Okay.
But in looking at the synopses, two really caught my attention. From the Ashes is from Canada, and Fireline is from California. And they kind of look at the rejuvenation, you know, what happens after, you know, forest fire or an extreme fire, and certainly highlights the experience of two firefighters, everything they go through, the intensity, the emotion, and how they cope. And I just think with our recent fires in the area, I think a lot of our West Texas individuals will be able to identify with that, the loss of nature and then cheering its rebirth, and certainly wanting to identify and support our firefighters who, for long hours, you know, battled those blazes. So I think those, you know, there's something for everyone.
Interesting, because it's a more forested area where the fires would be, contrasting that with our own desert area and the fires we've had recently. But the film festival takes rural experience from all different parts of the country and all different parts of the world, and really gives people a chance to see what rural life is elsewhere. Because we think of our rural life here, but there is rural experience very different than our own high desert life.
Yeah, in looking at the diversity, I think there is diversity. Obviously, great point about forest versus desert.
But a whole different kind of firefighting.
A whole different, yes. Very, very different. But I still think we all share some things in common. And that's what I would like to see, you know, people come away with is, yeah, we're different in a lot of these things, but we still share the common themes of family, of community support. You know, I really do think that is the hallmark of the rural experience. It's just who we are as people. We're a different breed, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing that highlighted.
Contrasted a little bit with the idea of isolation, which is what a lot of people think of when they think of the rural areas, people from the bigger cities.
Well, when I did move to West Texas, I came here to Alpine to teach. My parents helped me move, and they were a little nervous. Where are we taking you? Because there was fewer and fewer trees and more sparse. Because we're from rural Iowa, but there was always a town within 8 or 10 miles. So this was kind of my first experience of really feeling isolated. And, you know, would it be nice to have more conveniences? Yes. But is it nice to be kind of insulated and away from it all? Absolutely. So I think you have to find the best of both worlds no matter where you are.
So growing up in rural Iowa, have you lived in big cities at all?
I attended college in Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Okay.
We were talking about that out in the lobby too. Great city, music, theater. And then I attended graduate school in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So I've been in some cities, but I think I'm much more comfortable in a smaller town. Would it be nice to be near a larger town? Yes. But I definitely think I'm built for smaller towns, and then I'll take my day trips to the bigger cities, get my fix, and then come on back.
I couldn't agree more. We're talking with Michelle Selk of Sol Ross State University, and she's a part of the Micro Cinema Festival going on this weekend at the university. It's celebrating the rural experience. As you heard, on Friday night, it'll be a collection of short films about the rural experience, and then on Saturday, The Straight Story, directed by David Lynch. Both of these programs begin at 7 p.m. That's in the Studio Theater of the Francois Fine Arts Building on the Sol Ross campus. For more information, visit solross.edu/theater, or you can give them a call at 888-722-SRSU. So this will be the first year for the Micro Cinema Festival that you and Donna Roman, also of Sol Ross, have been working on. You decided on highlighting the rural experience in this first festival, and next year you're looking into the Latino experience. Have y'all already been working on trying to cultivate a group of films for that program?
Well, one film in particular that Donna's hoping to get is The Matador from Spain. Mm-hmm. And she started to tell me about it, and I'm like, really? No, I don't want to watch, you know, bullfighting. She's like, no, I agree with you. You know, I agree with you about the animals, but she says it highlights the matador, the culture, the family, the preparation. So we may not agree with the bullfighting, but she says you see the culture behind that choice. And I think that's really important for us, is to, you know, see how other people think. You know, they don't have these beliefs or behaviors just to have them, just like we don't have our beliefs or rituals just to have them.
In the rural areas.
Exactly. So, I mean, I know the matador is one she's looking at very closely, but we're not sure if it's something we could get or afford or, you know.
So I guess the theme that y'all and Sol Ross is focusing on when putting together this festival really is an exploration of culture. And that's what binds the films together.
Right. You know, in September, you know, 6th through the 8th, we're looking at Latin culture. And Other categories Don and I have looked at are films directed by women. Mm-hmm. I think, as someone who studied film producing in graduate school, I still believe the industry, you know, lacks the female voice in producer, director, writer roles. So we'd like to highlight films directed by women. B-movies, you know, those cult classics. I think that is a fantastic idea. I can just see some, you know, corny sci-fi flicks, you know, bringing our students in. And then, of course, just focusing on documentary genre or animation genre, you know. So we'll change up the theme every year, but just to highlight those unique voices that maybe we don't have as much access to.
So you yourself, Michelle, you teach video production at Sol Ross. Can you tell me just a little bit about what some of the students currently are working on film-wise?
Well, right now, the basic TV students are being prepped to film the last few scenes of I Know, the TV series.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the I Know series?
Yes, that was the plays written by Liz Coronado Castillo. She was in here to talk to us about those when they came out. I believe there's two of them.
We shot episode one fall semester with Donna's production class.
Okay.
And then episode two, we didn't quite get all shot. You know, scheduling is a nightmare with everybody. So my basic TV students are going to film those remaining scenes. And hopefully by April, both episodes will be up on the web. But that's what we're working on right now, is they're getting the TV studio experience. And then once we're done filming that in March, my students will do a second project of their own choosing, and they've got some unique ideas of what they'd like to do.
So there's a lot of this seems like there's a lot of collaboration between the theater students and the video students.
Oh, absolutely. I think because Donna is interested in film and theater, and I'm interested in film and theater, and we both have similar work ethics and personalities, I think we do tend to gravitate toward each other and, you know, try to find projects that will allow us to use both of our strengths. And obviously our students.
Well, we look forward to having you back on at some point in the future to tell us a little bit more about projects that your students are working on.
I would love to.
Well, we've been speaking with Michelle Selk. She is of Sol Ross State University and part of the Micro Cinema Festival going on this weekend, celebrating the rural experience. A collection of short films will be played on Friday night, and then David Lynch's The Straight Story will be played on Saturday night. Both of those screenings begin at 7 p.m. at the Studio Theater of the Francois Fine Arts Building on the Sol Ross campus. And we also have here that the Donna sent us, we have an MP3. This is a preview of the festival. Can you tell me about this?
If it's the MP3 I'm thinking of, mm-hmm. It's an audio file highlighting The Straight Story, our feature presentation on Saturday.
Okay, well, we're gonna listen to this, and thank you again so much, Michelle, for coming in and telling us more about it.
Thank you very much.
And real quick, before we hear it, the web address where you can get the complete schedule and more information is solross.edu/theater. You can also go to the Marfa Public Radio website. We have a link there to the page where you can buy tickets and read more about the films that are going to be played. I'm Talk at 10. I'm Rachel Lindley, sorry. This has been Talk at 10, and we're going to listen to this preview now. Thanks for tuning in.
When my kids were real little, I used to play a game with them. I'd give each one of them a stick, and I'd say, "You break that." Of course, they could, real easy. Then I'd say, "Tie them sticks in a bundle, try to break that." Of course, they couldn't. Then I'd say, "That bundle, that's family. Rose, darling, I've got to go see Lyle."
"I'm a Netto with Salvin, and he's driving his lawnmower."
"What are you setting out to do here? Alvin, you're going to get blown right off the rope."
"How long have you been on the road?"
5 weeks.
"Haven't you been scared being alone?"
"Well, ma'am, I fought in the trenches in World War II. Why should I be scared of an Iowa cornfield?" "Are you running away?
My family hates me.
Well, of course, warm bed and a roof sounds a mite better than eating a hot dog on a stick with an old geezer that's traveling on a lawnmower.
How far'd you come?
From Iowa.
My God, you must be thirsty.